الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, once again we welcome you to the series The Evils of Society. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, on the previous series we've been discussing many aspects of the evils of society. Inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala muballighin, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we'll be discussing the various aspects pertaining to this topic, gangsterism, which is affecting many communities throughout the world.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله تو شمع میری سالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے جلوائے جانانا تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوائے جانانا جو ساقی کوثر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے جو ساقی کوثر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے ہر دل بنے میں خانہ ہر آنکھ ہو پیمانہ تو شمع میری سالت ہے عالم پروانہ ہر پھول میں بو تیری ہر شمع میں زو تیری ہر پھول میں بو تیری ہر شمع میں زو تیری بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل پروانہ ہے پروانہ تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ گر پر کے یہاں پہنچا مر مر کے اسے پایا گر پر کے یہاں پہنچا مر مر کے اسے پایا چھوٹے نہ الہی اب سنگے در جانا چھوٹے نہ الہی اب سنگے در جانا تو شمع میری رسالت ہے आलम तेरा परवाना, खाते हैं तेरे दर का, पीते हैं तेरे दर का, खाते हैं तेरे दर का, पीते हैं तेरे दर का, पानी है तेरा पानी, दाना है तेरा दाना, पानी है तेरा पानी, दाना है तेरा दाना, तो शम मेरी सालत है, आलम तेरा परवाना, सरकार के जलवों से रोशन है दिले नूरी, सरकार के जलवों से रोशन हे दिले नूरी, ता हश्र रहे रोशन, नूरी का एकाशाना, ता हश्र रहे रोशन, नूरी का एकाशाना, तो शम मेरी सालत है, आलम तेरा परवाना, तू माहे नबूवत है, ए जलवाए जानाना।
सल्लु अला हबीब सल्लल्लाहु तआला अला मुहम्मद। Our most beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that if a person recites 3 times durood-e-paak salawat upon him during the day and 3 times durood-e-paak upon him in the night, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala Rabb Allah azza wa jal will forgive that person's sins committed for that day and that night inshallah azza wa jal. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا رحمة للعالمين. My dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, as we have discussed that our topic is gangsterism. Gangsterism, when we hear the word gangsterism, unfortunately the word gangsterism brings out a fear in a human being. Every community, almost many communities are affected by this evils of society, gangsterism. Inshallah tabarakatuh, today we're going to discuss some points about gangsterism and try to find some solutions about this evil that is overcoming our society. So first of all, inshallah, we will discuss with Islamic brothers, what is gangsterism? What are the causes of gangsterism? Where does it occur? How does it occur? In which communities does it affect? So my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, please listen attentively and inshallah tabarakhu ta'ala, we try to learn and get some Madani pools about how to solve this evils of society, gangsterism. See?
Okay, some people, when they look at problems facing countries, the first thing they talk about is economic problems. But there are also very serious problems regarding things that are affecting mostly the youth, affecting many families, and because of this you find youth are involved in violence, many people are attacked, women are raped, they are drugged, stabbed, shot, and this is almost like an internal war. And the thing is, again, it seems as if it's getting out of control, and this problem we're talking about is gangsterism. And this, the main problem is, although this is a scourge in society, it's like a disease, but it is actually hooking and attracting youngsters. Youngsters see the gangsters as someone that they can look up to because of the lifestyle they lead. And these gangs are looking at and targeting youngsters. And a survey has shown, and this was done internationally, that the most popular recruiting center for gangsterism are our schools. And the survey has shown that even children as young as 10 years old are being recruited. And the average age of gangsters are between 15 and 17 years old. And these children who are innocent, they get attracted. And one way of attracting them is by using drugs, and they bring them into this fold. And these youngsters at this early age, when they get involved with gangsters, they're exposed to violence, to all this crowd of, and all this thing, crime, etc., drug taking at this age. And this is really frightening people, because when they are going to get older, what kind of mentality they're going to have?
I just picked up one very important point. You said that they are taking out role models. In order, these role models are attracting them to gangsterism. What did you say?
Indeed, that we find that the youth of today, they look up to people who have either wealth or power or fame. And it seems as though that gap that is there, the role that supposed to be played by a parent in terms of role modeling, that gap now is being filled by somebody else. They see these people driving flashy cars, gangsters driving flashy cars. They see that they've always got, you know, they're following the latest fashion trends. They wear nice clothing. They see them as being respected or feared rather by others. And they feel that, you know, this is how I would also like to be. I would also like to be feared. I also want to be powerful and strong. And I also want to drive a fancy car, and I also want to dress up in nice clothing. So they make these bad examples their role models. And this is only because those who could have been positive role models were absent during their times, during the critical times of their lives, when they needed to look at the character of somebody and take that person as a role model. The father in the household, instead of trying to be the role model of his child, we find that he himself does not go to the masjid. We find that he himself is not wearing the Islamic garb. We find that he himself is breaking the rules of Sharia. So there's no positive role modeling from the father or even other elders within the family. So this child now thinks that this type of life is normal. So why look at an ordinary person, an ordinary laborer? These people, they have so much of time. They have so much of money. People are attracted to them, not realizing that gangsters either have a short lifespan, or they will be only in society or in a community only for a short period of time. Either they will be killed, or they will be imprisoned, or if Allah so desires, they will change their lives.
But one thing regarding gangsters, you find that the gangs that are established, so what they do is, they know they are wanted, so they can't be seen in public. So they work behind the scenes, and they get their members to actively recruit new members. Now this is like a vicious circle. So when the new members come in, each gang got its own rules. That for you to be accepted, You have to do certain things. And you have to show your manliness. That means they say, okay, you have to go and deal in drugs. And if you get caught, that's your business. You can't blame anybody else. You go to prison and then you come back, you get a higher status. So they make crime become attractive. They say now, so some person who was first, as you mentioned, he rejected by his peers, got no role model at home, and he sees this gangster as a something.
You see, Qazi Saab, you know, according to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you find that every human being has a need. The hierarchy starts with the most basic and fundamental need being physiological need. Okay? Physiological need is that need to, you know, fill your stomach. Food and drink. That fulfills your physiological need. Now when a person has fulfilled his physiological need, he goes to the next level of need, and that is security. He's got a roof over his head. He's got clothes on his back. He's got sufficient security. The next level of need is social need. Now he's filled his stomach. He's got food and drink. He's got a home. He's got a house. Now he looks, you know, he wants to be part of a clique, of a group. He wants to have a social group. He wants to have social recognition. He wants to, you know, be a part of something. Now in this phase of a person's life, if you give him a negative example, he's going to latch onto that to fulfill this human need. According to Maslow's hierarchy of need, it's a need of a human being to be recognized as a part of a group, you know, to be part of a social group, whether it be religious, whether it be a sporting club, whether it be a gang for that matter. So in that period, that young man, or in these days, not only, you don't only get male gangs, you also get female gangs. That young male or female is looking for a role model, looking for an organization, looking for a group. Some go into sports, others go into, become muballighs of Dawat-e-Islami, whilst others find their homes in gangs.
My dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, undoubtedly, it is a scary moment. If our child is involved in gangsterism, meaning his heart has been taken away, his physical body has been taken away. Yes, he has found a role model in the community. He's found a role model in his life. Means he's found a gangster. He's found a role model in some drug lord. He's found a role model in some movie star, etc., in some famous personality. Isn't this scary, the views of Madani Channel, that we are now heading towards disaster? Our children's lives have been taken over by other than Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, meaning their hearts have been gone away from Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. This is a very scary moment for a parent if they know that their child is now involved in gangsterism. You were mentioning that one part that they have to fulfill certain rules and regulations in order for them to be a part and parcel of that gang. What are some of the
examples? Themselves, whether it's worthy of being part of the gang.
So what happened? Each gang got his own rule. Now this person first, he was a misfit in society. He couldn't. So yeah, he's got an opportunity to prove himself. So you find many examples. You find one guy very good with a knife and stabs people, and suddenly they call him fingers or whatever, sharpshooter with a knife. Or you may get somebody who's very good at the gun, that maybe call him Mad Max or something because he can shoot. Now, this person has to go and do certain things to get recognized and grow in the gang. So he gets involved in drugs, or he becomes skilled with a knife and kill people, and all of a sudden he makes a name for himself. He could be a sharpshooter with a certain name like Mad Max or something because he can shoot very well. And all of a sudden, from being a nobody, he suddenly in the gang is recognized of his certain skills. And then he get other people looking up to him. Yet he's a gangster. Now all of a sudden he feels that I am somebody. So now, because of that, he's got a reputation. People fear him. Now he starts getting money. And he gets paid for jobs that he do in the gang. And all of a sudden...
Qazi Saab, if you look at it from a psychological point of view, you find that a lot of these gangsters may not necessarily have all the skills. Because if you take them individually, they are weak. So in order for them to show their strength, they need to be part of a bigger group.
This is why it's called gangsters.
That's why it's called gangsters.
Because they can't survive alone.
Individually,
they may not be as powerful, as strong as you know, it is perceived.
With groups, they are powerful.
But within the group,
yeah.
Then now, you know, they say that united we stand, divided we fall.
Yeah.
So now they find this home where they can do their activities and they can back each other up. Yeah. That if one gets into trouble, he know he's got a whole group behind him that can.
And another thing is that they never move alone.
Yes.
Gangsters, that is the meaning of gangsters. It means gang of people together. Yeah. Gangsters form the group. Without their group, they cannot move. They're in danger. They're in trouble.
See, the one who's feeling most uncertain, he joined the gang new. Now he want to show the other people, you know what, I am the best. So if there's an opportunity to kill, he will say, let me do it. So he goes ahead, he goes forward, killing, shooting, whatever, and he gets his name. Now all of a sudden, from being down here, now amongst the group, he's killing the most people, doing the most crime. So suddenly, in his peer group, he's respected and he's feared. Although he may have been a weakling in the past, now he has to prove himself. Now he has to live with that character. Now he has to show people he's tough. So then people start looking up to him. And then people who are close to him, even if they're not part of the gang, they want to live like him. Now all of a sudden, he's driving a flashy car. He's got lots of money. He's got women around him. Now this is an attraction for youth. They don't see what he's doing is wrong. They say, I want to be like him.
But if you had to interview each of these gangsters separately, there is, in a lot of them, there's a certain amount of regret. There's a certain amount of guilt. But because they have their peers encouraging them, you know, then they continue with that lifestyle. Although, you know, once they're in, now they, like Islamic Brother mentioned, that they have to live up to a certain standard now. Now they're in. But if you had to take them separately and interview them each separately, you'll find that they don't like what they do. But they're doing it because they need others to look up to them. They're not proud of what they have done. But they continue doing it because they're getting encouragement from others. And you'll find this in many gangs. That, the main person, you know, in the South African Zulu language, they call him Ngamla. He sits, he doesn't get his hands messed. You know, he'll sit there and he'll encourage everybody to do all the wrong. But his hands never get messed. And now the others, because they look up to him, they will do as he says. They're doing all the dirty work and he sits and does nothing. And this, you know, that regret, that conscience that they have, if they have a conscience left. If we as Muballighin have to go and address them and discourage the evil and encourage good, then you will find that slowly, slowly, one by one, those gangs will dissolve and they will come to the path of Sirati Mustaqim. Sheikh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat, the founder of Dawat al-Islami, he writes a little incident that took place in his book called Ghibat Ki Tabahkariya, The Perils of Backbiting. And it is narrated by a Muballigh. This Muballigh, a Muballigh states, that while traveling with a Madani Qafila in Jamad al-Ula, 1428 Hijri, June 2008, he reached Okara, Punjab. There he met a bearded old man crowned with a green amama. The old Islamic brother explained how this amazing transformation took place. He never always looked like this. And he explained to this Islamic brother how the transformation, the Madani Inqilab, took place within him. He says, before embracing the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, I was an infamous gangster in my locality. My addiction to alcohol was so severe that bottles of booze, of alcohol, of liquor, could always be found in my car. I would always carry a weapon for my safety with armed bodyguards that would accompany me all the time. Gangsters, as we were talking, with others, not only himself, with a group of gangsters as well. Because of my evil actions, people resented me so much that they preferred not to even pass me. What caused me to tread on these Madani tracks, Madani mahal of Dawat Islami, is that the Muballighin, the preachers, who were actively calling people towards righteousness in our area, would try to call on me too. But I was drowned in an abyss of heedlessness. Therefore, instead of answering to their call, I would hold their hand and say, come and have a drink with me. Sometimes I would rebuke them. At other times, I would reprimand them harshly. Despite that adverse reaction, they would still find opportunities to come and try to inspire me. A long period passed by like this, where they tenaciously persisted with their invitation towards righteousness, and I kept consistently putting them off. Then, as usual, when the brothers came to me, I thought to myself that these poor fellows had been striving for a long time. Why don't I just lend them an attentive ear today? For the first time. Following my heart, I listened to them carefully. Through Allah Azza wa Jal's sheer magnificence, their message pierced my heart and I uttered Labbaik.
Subhanallah.
I am ready. I went along with the Islamic brothers to the masjid. As far as I could recall, he says, as far as I could recall, that was the first time I had entered the masjid after attaining maturity. After becoming baligh, it was the first time I entered the masjid. The company of the devotees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sunnah inspiring ijtima transformed the dimensions of my heart.
Subhanallah.
Then I began regularly seek the company of these Islamic brothers.
Subhanallah.
Before he was seeking the company of gangsters. Now he began to seek the company of Islamic brothers and also became a murid in the spiritual chain of Sheikh Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
After I became a murid, gradually my demeanor began to change. I sincerely repented from all my sins, gave up alcohol, began to offer salah punctually. I also grew a beard according to the sunnah and crowned a green amama on my head. People were astonished on this transformation and could not believe how such an evil person could become an upright individual.
Subhanallah.
Once it was almost comical when two journalists were astonished to see me as they crossed my path. They confirmed with me as to whether I was the same gangster and wanted to publish my story in the newspaper, but I refused. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, it was the blessings of the righteous Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami that a person as corrupt and decadent as me fostered a change within himself. I began to tread on the path of Salah and Sunnah and became a respectable person of this community.
Subhanallah, my dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel. What a beautiful narration. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, the mercy of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is so great, so great, so great, especially for the gangsters out there. At this present moment, if you are watching Madani Channel, look at the rahmat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, the mercy of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that Rabb Allah Azza wa Jal took a person out of the state of gangsterism, took him out of the state of gangsterism and brought him to this beautiful Madani revolution of Dawat Islami, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. So Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is striving throughout the entire dunya, gangsters, drug addicts, alcoholism, whatever sicknesses you have, whatever evils are there in the community, Dawat Islami is, subhanAllah, it's opening its arms towards you. Comes towards success, inshallah, tabarakallah. Come towards this Madani revolution. Another problem, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, that we are facing.
It's not too late.
It's never too late. There is a summary of a narration I'll mention, that a person had murdered 99 people. And then he had regret in his heart. He murdered 99 people and he had this regret in his heart that I want to now repent. So he went to somebody and said that, you know, I have murdered 99 people, but now I want to make tawbah. Please tell me, how can I go about making tawbah? This person said, you murdered 99 people. How do you expect to be forgiven? He killed him as well. Now, in total, he killed 100 people. Then somebody told him, no, there's a waliullah in a certain place. Go to him, he will give you the solution to your problem. Inshallah. So as he set out on this journey, not far from where he left off, not far from his home, he passed away. Then the angels of punishment and the angels of mercy were there. And they were discussing, now should this person go to Jahannam or should this person go to Jannat? And they took this in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels of mercy are saying, no, he had the niyat of repenting, so he should go to Jannat. And the angels of punishment said, he murdered 100 people, so he should go to Jahannam. This case was brought in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that measure the distance of his travel. If he was closer to his home, then he should go to Jahannam. And if he was closer to his destination, to the Waliullah, then he should go to Jannat.
Closer towards Tawbah.
To that Waliullah, the friend of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the earth to change, that the distance he had covered must be the distance he did not cover, and the distance he did not cover must be the distance he had actually covered. And so when they measured, and according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they found that he was closer towards the home of that Waliullah. So the decision was obvious that he should go towards Jannah. Repentance is such an important, yes, that the first pillar of repentance is regret. A person, if he makes tawbah, but he has no regret, this is not called repentance. A person must have regret. Be embarrassed and shameful for the sin that he has committed. Turn towards Allah and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will be forgiven. Then inshallah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that person through his mercy inshallah.
So my dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, also Mubalighah Da'wah Islami gave us a very beautiful narration. And subhanallah azza wa jal, even from this narration, we come to know that how much the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you and I, viewers of Madani channel, cannot comprehend the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, this sickness, gangsterism, also is creating what we call a khawf, a fear in the community. Inshallah, so now we're going to discuss some points about what fears they put into the people, the communities, the parents, the children, the businessmen. Inshallah, Tabarak Islam, Mubalighah Da'wah Islami, going to give us some points on that, inshallah, and we try to get some solutions for this as well, inshallah.
First, I think the most important thing to understand is, why do teenagers join gangs? One is feeling of belonging. You find that these teenagers have no place in the world. The gangs is like a family for them. You look after my back, I look after your back. And the gangsters, they promise them, we will take care of you always. So they got this sense of belonging. Secondly, they see it as a way of making easy money. Gangsters, they rob, steal, sell stolen things, sell drugs, etc. Easy money. You don't have to go and work 8 to 5. like that. So they see it as a way of getting enough money, and they get plenty of money. Then it's also protection, because gang members will protect each other. Because once you're part of one gang, you always got enemies. So now you are in a situation where you can't leave the gang, because you have created so much crime that as soon as you're alone, you're going to get attacked. So now you find security in the gang. And then you have a place to hang out. Before you were isolated, now you got your gangster friends, and they always have parties, drugs, music, women. So this kind of life is attractive. So these are some of the things that attracts these gangsters. Now we say you want reform, we have to find an alternate. And alhamdulillah, one is to reach out to them. Reach out, because as they say, they want to have a feeling of belonging. So we have to give them this environment, Maddi environment, as a way of belonging. So it means the Mubaligh will have to go and reach out to them, talk to them, and win the hearts. And there's one very beautiful, beautiful story about one such gangster. And there was a Mubaligh of Dawat Islami who went to give this person Nikki Gidawat. And he was such a person that he used to attack his father as well. So this Mubaligh went, he knew him when they were children. So he went to invite him for a 3 days program in a town nearby. So that person was arrogant first, and he said, speak to my father, if my father agrees, then I'll go. So this Mubaligh was very experienced and spoke to the father. The first thing the father said, listen, you're wasting your time. This person will never change. But this Mubaligh had a special skill. He kept talking to the father and said, please, give him, say yes. And then he said, if you say yes, then he's going to come with me. So then the father eventually said, yes, you can take him, but you're wasting your time. So this Mubaligh went to this gangster and said to him, you know what, your father has agreed. And because his father didn't like him, so he was surprised. He asked his father, did you agree? He said, yes. And I told him he's wasting his time. So anyway, this Mubaligh managed to take this gangster to this 3 days Tarbiyat Ijtima. First day he disappeared, second day he disappeared. The third day the Mubaligh caught him and said, today, Amir al-Sunnat, the founder of Dawat Islami, he is going to be giving the bayan. I want you to sit and listen. And he made him sit. And look at a Waliya Kamil. When he gave the bayan, it was as if the bayan were directed at this youngster. When he heard the bayan, he started crying. And tears were falling down his eyes. The bayan was Bad Naseeb Dhula. And then he started crying. And eventually, this Mubaligh, when he saw this, he knew that when you cry, your heart softens. And then he realized that this, there will be a transformation in this gangster. And afterwards, he told the Mubaligh, listen, I want to meet Sheikh Tariqat. He wanted to go meet Papa John. So he stood in the queue, and I said, as he was in the queue, someone recognized him as a gangster, gave him a tofa, gave him tasbih, the tofa, rosary bead. And when he went close to Amir al-Sunnat, he saw nobody putting anything in the hands. He put his tasbih back in his pocket, and look at a Waliya Kamil. When he saw him, he took out his own tasbih from his pocket and put it into the hands of this person. That changed him completely. He became so regretful. He made tawbah. He became a Mubaligh of Dawat Islami. And he changed from being a gangster to becoming a well sought after Mubaligh. Because he was a gangster, he had impacted many people. People who feared him are now so happy. Families that used to be scared of him started welcoming him to come and change the children. They had a problem with the children, they should call him. And every time he had Faizan al-Sunnat in his hand. Wherever he went, he was teaching people Sunnah. Imagine from one extreme to the other. And what a beautiful extreme. And one day he was sitting in the taxi. The taxi driver recognized him. He said, you teach everybody Sunnah, what about me? And he opened the book to talk about Sunnah. And because of an old grudge, somebody shot and he became Shaheed. And this Mubaligh says, in that town there were many Buzruk that passed away. But nobody had a bigger crowd for the janazah than this youngster. Alhamdulillah. And he also mentioned that for 40 days, people went to his grave. Sometimes for your parents, you'll go for 3 days, 10 days. But for this youngster, he liked Naat Sharif. People used to go for 40 days to his graveyard. May read Khatam and read Quran Sharif and read Naat. And how fortunate he was. As you can see, the impact of the sincerity of this Mubaligh. He went to him with sincere intention, never gave up. Though the father was saying, you're wasting your time. He kept persisting. So this is for us a lesson that we should not give up. Alhamdulillah, his father, after the 40 days, saw him in the dream, and he asked him about his condition. He said, I have got invitation to Madina Sharif, and I'm going to Madina Sharif. Look how fortunate he was. That because of, Alhamdulillah, the attachment of Dawud Islami, can you see? Now there for us is a reason for us to go and reach to people who are lost, especially those who are drug addicts.
My dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madinah, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, what beautiful, inspiring narrations, inspiring stories we are hearing about Muballigin, from gangsterism to the revolution, Madani revolution of Dawud Islami. Look at this example. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, so much of fear this gangster put into the people. And now, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave him such a status, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. We hear about the khwab about his father seeing him going towards Madina Sharif, etc. Subhanallah. So Dawud Islami, my dear Islam brothers, especially those gangsters out there, parents that are having problems, that their children are going towards gangsterism, etc. Send your children into this Madani revolution of Dawud Islami. Let them come and attend the weekly Sunnah inspired ishtimas of Dawud Islami. Let them travel in the Madani kafilas of Dawud Islami. Inshallah, Tabarakutullah, very soon, inshallah, Azawajal, you will also see that Madani revolution in your homes, within your family members, inshallah, Azawajal. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, let us go to another aspect of this gangsterism. What are the solutions for the communities out there that are, that the children are involved in gangsterism, inshallah?
See, most important is you look at the signs. What are signs of a... You are a child, how do you know the child is involved in as a gangster? One sign is you'll find that he'll be wearing expensive clothes. You can't afford clothes, you can't buy. You, the father, all of a sudden he's wearing designer clothes. So where is he getting the money from? All of a sudden he's got lots of money to spend. And then you find he's, if he's in school, because mostly, as we said, children from school are being recruited. All of a sudden, he's not showing interest in his lessons. He's missing schools. And then you find he's getting involved in police. But police are coming to your home and questioning him. So these are signs. And then, as you say, he's mixing with adults. Before he had school friends. Now he's got new friends. And you'll be able to make out suspicious looking friends. So as parents, if you start seeing these signs, then, as you mentioned, this is what we have to do. We have to start questioning and take action then. And as you said, one solution that is, Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami is spread in how many now? Over 180 countries. Because as you say, he has to find some place where he can have a sense of belonging. So Shahid Bhai, what do you feel regarding?
Absolutely, like we mentioned earlier, that every human being has a social need. And people want to be a part of something. Now, there are so many people inviting our youth towards evil. Those that call themselves friends, they are not inviting towards goodness. They are not inviting their peers towards the masjid. They are inviting them towards movies. They are inviting them towards nightclubs. They are inviting them towards gangsterism. So there are so many people out there inviting the youth towards evil. But how many people are out there inviting people towards goodness, towards the path of piety? If an entire society, and a society is made up of individuals, because if I think that no, this is not my problem, this is Amiruddin Bhai's problem. His house is on fire. He's my neighbor. His house is on fire. I don't have to worry about it. If I do not worry about the fire of his house, that fire could extend into my house as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains an individual's responsibility over his society using a simile. Pyare Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the summary of the hadith is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it's as though a double-deck boat is floating on a river. And fresh drinking water is on the upper deck. And people from the lower deck, whenever they need to take a bath, whenever they need to drink water, whenever they need to freshen themselves, they need to go to the upper level. So the people on the lower level, they decide that we are tired of going up all the time to get this fresh water. Why don't we just make a hole at the bottom of the boat here and we'll get the fresh water from the river? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if the people on the upper level do not warn the people on the lower level of the consequences of their actions, then not only will the people on the lower deck suffer the consequences, but the people on the upper deck will also suffer the consequences because all of them will drown. So whether this problem has come into our homes or not, the problem exists within our society. First and foremost, we need to acknowledge that there is a problem. After acknowledging that there is a problem, then each one should do their level best to try and change the situation. You know, once there was a king who asked all the milk producers, all the dairies, the dairy farmers, that he put this big, huge container in the middle of the town and he told them all to put a jar or jug of milk in this huge container. So one farmer thought that he was a little bit clever. He says that all the farmers are going to put their milk in here. So why don't I just put, you know, a jug of water instead? And he, instead of putting milk, he put water. And by putting water inside, he thought that no, it won't make a difference to the milk that's already in there. The next morning, when the king went to see this container, whether it was filled with milk, they found there was absolutely no milk and it was filled with water. Because each farmer thought to himself that everyone else is going to put milk, so there will be no difference if I put just one jug of water. So each one thought that of the next one, and they filled that container up with water instead of milk. So each of us need to take responsibility of this problem, whether it's drugs, whether it's gangsterism. We need to own the problem. And we need to oppose all that evil invitation. People are inviting towards evil. We all need to invite towards good. We need to invite our youth towards good. And we can only do it if we're soft, if we're compassionate, if we're kind. Because if we become too harsh, then people will run away from us. As in the mahal of Dawat-e-Islami, you find that Muballighin are encouraged to attract people towards this mahal with softness, with compassion, with kindness. And every member of society should give this type of shafqat to the youth and encourage them to do good instead of going down that path which is destined for Jahannam. If there is a scorpion on that's about to bite somebody, immediately you'll warn them about that scorpion. So the person warning you is your well-wisher. And to the youth out there, that when the elders try to encourage you to do good and discourage you from doing evil, do not think that, yeah, they are past their time now, this is our time to be young and this is our time to enjoy and this is our, you know, we are. They have experience. They know what they're talking about. They know that people that led that type of life, they are either in prison or they are dead.
Also in Dawat-e-Islami, we are so fortunate that we have a great personality like Amir al-Sunnat. And he has been responsible for transforming many people who were alcoholics, drug addicts, gangsters, misfits of society, because of his ruhaniyat. So, alhamdulillah, with his being in the founder of this movement, how much of ruhaniyat is there in the movement? There's one beautiful story about a gangster who used to drink alcohol. It's mentioned on the 27th of Ramadan. He was going past the Markaz and he heard Amir al-Sunnat making dua and he heard people crying. And he had a bottle of wine in his, alcohol in his hand. So he left that alcohol. He heard it on the loudspeaker. He heard the dua. He left his alcohol bottle and he went towards the Markaz. And the dua impacted him so much that he started crying. And he said, because of the words of dua of the mouth of a wali, he changed. He cried, he made tawbah, and from then his whole life transformed. Again, it tells you that solution is there in this movement, Dawat Islami. We can get involved. So therefore, the appeal is that get involved in the work in the mahol of Dawat Islami, and inshallah.
Allah karam aisa kare tujh pe jahan mein ae Dawat Islami teri dhoom machi ho.
My dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have heard many views of our Muballighin discussing about this evil of society, gangsterism. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islami, this beautiful movement, international movement of the Quran and the Sunnah of the beloved Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, is working very hard to eradicate this evil of society and all the evils of societies. So we humbly request you out there, join the Madani Kafilas of Dawat Islami. Inshallah Tabarak, keep close to the Madani Mall of Dawat Islami. This beautiful Madani revolution is taking place in every corner of the world, inshallah Azza wa Jal. And we are hopeful, inshallah Tabarak, that very soon, inshallah Azza wa Jal, that these problems are going to be solved, inshallah. Keep watching Madani Channel. And at the same time, do not forget, keep watching this beautiful series, The Evils of Society. See you soon, inshallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad.